May the words of my mouth, the meditation of my heart, be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. I want to follow up a little bit just on what we shared Friday. And just again revealing the character of God, I think the thing that drew me months ago to the story in John 4, the woman at the well, is because Jesus, who came to tell the truth about the Father, to reveal his true nature. That's one of the best stories in all of Scripture, other than the cross, of Jesus revealing the goodness of our Heavenly Father. And that first little section there is a springboard to so much. The verses that Deacon Ron read is that I'm sure that this woman at the well had been crying out in her heart for some kind of encounter, for something to alter the course of her life that she had been thrust into, kept making choices toward, that was speeding along for decades. But the interesting thing is that she was just going about doing what she did every day. And again, I'm sure she carried a longing in her heart when Jesus revealed to her the truth that he knew about having had five husbands and living with a man. And she said, I perceive that you're a prophet. So she knew something about prophets. And then she begins to talk to him about worship. So there had been something in her that longed to know what was the right place and where was worship to be done right. So there was something in her that was drawn, that God was drawn to. But still, she was just doing what she did every day, going by herself, lonely in the middle of the day to get water. And the reality is that even though she was longing, it took Christ, it took the Father directing him to pursue her. He's the one who stopped, went out of the way, and positioned himself to encounter her at just the right time. That's just who he is. That we long for things, we long for him, but most of the time, we don't always know what to do with that. And if God didn't turn and pursue us to encounter him, those longings would just stay empty longings. Now think about the story last week of Elijah, and Elijah finds himself in a situation where, again, he's just had these series of supernatural things happen. God just showing out and showing off and using Elijah to do it. Just stunning signs and wonders. And after the 850 false prophets were killed, when God did this amazing thing and this miracle storm shows up, he outruns Ahab's chariot in the power of the Spirit. And in chapter 19, when Jezebel sends word that she's going to have him killed, again, it says this. It says, and he was afraid and arose and ran for his life and called to Beersheba, which belongs to Judah, and left his servant there. See, here's the thing, is that why was he afraid of this? I mean, he went to the court 3 years earlier. Jezebel couldn't have been very far away, and he announced to Ahab that God was bringing revival to the land, and he was going to use a famine to cause the people to be desperate for God, and it wasn't going to rain for 3 years. He raised somebody from the dead. He confronted publicly 850 false prophets and put to the test. It was a showdown. And built this sacrifice and said, now you call to Baal and see if he'll destroy it. He'll consume it. He didn't. Of course, God did. That took a lot of courage. And yet, here is this one thing happens. It's a setback, and he's running for his life. Why? Because it wasn't expected. It was a surprise. You ever had one of those? I mean, things seem to be going the way they were supposed to be going, and all of a sudden, here's a disappointment that he wasn't looking for. And that's how the enemy throws us. God wants to teach us how to walk in deeper faith, more mature faith, but the enemy's just there. And he goes on, he says, he runs a day's journey, running for his life, into the wilderness. Whenever you run in fear, you always run into the wilderness, by the way. And then he lay down under a juniper tree and asked that he would just die. He says, enough now, verse 4, Lord, take my life, for I'm not better than my father's. So he lay down, slept under a juniper tree, and behold, there was an angel touching him, and said to him, arise and eat. And he looked, and behold, there was at his head a bread cake baked on 4 hot stones and a jar of water. So he ate and drank and lay down again. And the angel of the Lord came again a second time and touched him and said, arise, eat, because the journey is too great for you. He arose and ate and went in the strength of 40 days. He now fasted for 40 days and went to Mount Sinai or Horeb, the mountain of God. Then he came to a cave and lodged there. And behold, the word of the Lord came to him and said, what are you doing here, Elijah? Well, he was there because the angel said, get up and go. But God wasn't asking a geographical question. He's asking him again, what are you doing here emotionally and spiritually? Running for your life? And then he says this. Earlier in verse 4, when he ran for his life, he said, it is now enough now, O Lord, take my life, for I'm not better than my fathers. What was wrong with his fathers? They couldn't bring Israel in revival. He thought his actions were going to bring about revival. And instead, his life's being threatened. So he's scared to death because instead of faith, he got disappointed and he feels like a failure. Something's wrong with him. And the Lord, here's the cool thing. He runs, he's in fear, he's in depression and discouragement and confusion. And he's running into the wilderness and God chases him. An angel pursues him, feeds him. He goes to sleep, wakes up, feeds him, says you need to eat again because it's a long journey. Goes to the cave. And he goes in the cave and the Lord comes to him in the cave. You ever been in a cave spiritually, emotionally? God visits him in the cave and says, what are you doing here emotionally and spiritually, Elijah? And so Elijah tells him, I've been very zealous for the Lord, the God of hosts, for the sons of Israel have forsaken your covenant, torn down your altars, killed your prophets with the sword. I alone am left, and they seek my life to take it away. You ever felt lonely in what you're going through? And the Lord says to him, go forth and stand on the mountain before the Lord. And the Lord was passing by, and a great strong wind was rending the mountains and breaking the pieces of rocks before the Lord, but the Lord wasn't in the wind. Then there was an earthquake, but he wasn't in the earthquake. There was a fire, but the Lord wasn't in the fire. And then there was the sound of silence, literally, the whispers. And God was there. And it came about when Elijah heard it that his wife wrapped his face in his mantle, went out and stood in the entrance of the cave. And behold, a voice came to him and said again, what are you doing here, Elijah? And he tells him the same thing. I've been zealous. I'm all by myself. Now they want to kill me. And this is what God said to him, something really deep. Lord said to him, go return your way. He said, get back in the battle, Elijah. Stop hiding out in this cave. And then he tells him a couple of things. He reveals to him that he wasn't alone. 7,000 others have not denied the Lord. This isn't your journey by yourself. And he says, there's a couple things going to happen. And in the end, Jezebel's going down, so's Ahab. I'm raising up help for you, Elisha. And as we said last Friday, one of the things that God was saying is, Elisha, to Elijah, I'm not in the storm, the earthquake, or the wind. He said, sometimes I'm in the silence. When everything around you doesn't make sense, when you're in the where are you, God, thing. And he said, I'm just as powerfully active behind the scenes as it is when you can see me at work. There's a lot of stuff going on you don't know about. There's 7,000. But the thing that's interesting to me is how he pursued him. Pursued him in the wilderness. An angel came to him. God wasn't mad at him. God didn't say, I'm so disappointed in you. I can't believe you're here. But he did ask him. He wanted to engage conversation. What are you doing here, Elijah? Then he went and hid out in the cave. He didn't rebuke him for then either. Wasn't mad at him. Didn't tell him what a terrible person, believer he was. Just asked him again, what are you doing here? So he said it to him again. Never once did God rebuke him. And God's simple answer was to him, okay, Elijah, come out of the cave, cut out the fear. You're not a failure. There's a lot going on you don't know about. I got a plan. Just get back into life, okay? Just show up again. You know, wash your face, take a shower, put your clothes on, and show up for life, right? I mean, sometimes that's really that simple, isn't it? And I just think that's a word for us. This is a discovery turn. He never, isn't that funny? After all he went through, okay, go back. Okay, I understand. You run, you're scared, you feel like a failure, feel like everybody's abandoning you. I got it. I got a plan. There's stuff going on you can't see. Sometimes I come in the silence. It's not always earthquakes, fires, and all that stuff. Wind, just go back. Just, it'll all be okay. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen.